Ephesians chapter 5, part of my calling as a pastor of Lighthouse is to be given to the study of God's Word and to preaching and to prayer. And I pray for you guys. I'd only pray for you. I pray for your families, and I pray for like your children. I pray for your wives and your husbands, and I pray. And I got some good news this morning. One of my prayers that I've been praying for a while, God answered. I get it's all right to say, yeah? Alex's wife got saved. So Selena's our sister in Christ now. And it's absolutely thrilled my soul, all right? God is good, folks, amen? So let's keep praying, all right? Devil's not very happy, amen? Cranky old man that he is. So let's pray for protection for that home, okay, for her. Wisdom for Alex, all right? But it made my week, folks. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning about, it's a final message. We're going to get stuck into the husbands next week, okay? So ladies, the husbands are going to get theirs, all right? But it's a last message on biblical submission. And it is very pointed, it is very direct, but it is also applicable to every single person in this church. One of the things also, the ministry that God gives me is to fight with every fiber in my being to keep unity in the church and keep the peace in the church. And a lot of that has to do with teaching the church how to deal with each other. And even though we're going to be talking about submission in marriage this morning, I've purposely started this and wrote this out in how we ought to deal with wives in general. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't right, especially among fundamentalism. The way that wives are seen in some churches is not biblical, and we have to understand how God expects us to interact with other people's wives, especially when this subject of submission comes. We have to be careful. The way that men in the church deal with other men's wives is important. Because submission is very, very, very pointed. It's very unique. We're gonna have a look at this. So the way we interact with each other is important. The way, if you're a young person here this morning, is you need to listen, because this is what God expects of that relationship and how you ought to treat ladies in the church and wives in the church, and how your expectation of your wife to be. Is important. So it is a message that is applicable to everybody, all right? And you're going to see as we go along, and I don't want anyone switching off this morning. Please, I don't think it'll go very long, but I don't want you to switch off. So we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 21 to 24. It's been a wonderful portion of Scripture. We're in a very, very practical relationship orientated section in the book of Ephesians. And guys, we have spent a number of weeks looking at the big picture in relation to this section. And we've noticed things like, you know, that submission in all these relationships is the same. It's through an authority figure, but it is unto the Lord, unto God. We've looked at, you know, that marriage is a representation of Christ and the church. I was at Trinal Summit yesterday, and it was great catching up with a whole bunch of people. And Sam came up and said hello. Who remembers Sam and Robert and Beverly that used to come here a long time ago? Young Samantha came, and she came with a young man, and she goes, "Hello, Pastor, I just wanted to introduce my fiance." And she goes, "Oh, look, she's married, and she's got her engagement ring." And we were just chatting. He's a lovely young man, and she sort of stepped to the side and started talking with the girls. And this young man's just like, and he leaned over. He's looking at her. He goes, "Pastor, can you give me any tips?" I said, "Don't anger her. Don't make her angry. She's a jiu-jitsu champion, all right? She's going to hurt you, all right?" And I said, "No." I said, "Mate, look, the only thing I can tell you is to love her and to treat her the way Christ does the church." And it was all about, marriage is a representation of Christ in the church. And we spoke about the truths, of this relationship, and folks, the reality that we find here relating to submission is all encompassing, and we need to get our head around that. So we do come this morning to examine this passage in a more individualized way. And we will see that it speaks to marriage and specifically towards a wife role in and approach to her marriage. But again, it's something that we all need to heed and understand and learn, all right? So this by way of introduction, let's read the text and then we'll pray. And then I want to give you just four statements this morning that will better help us all understand and learn about submission in marriage. So the text reads in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And we're going to look at that verse, all right, because there's something very specific there that a lot of folks miss, okay? "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Let's go ahead and pray, and let's commit our time together to God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us to firstly maybe put aside our own preconceptions of this submission thing. Lord, help us to put aside our own opinions. Help us to put aside our own previous experiences. And especially, Lord, help us to put aside everything this world has taught us about this subject. And help us to simply listen to what you have said. Father, I pray that you'd give us humble hearts that are willing to receive your truth. Even when, Lord, it challenges the way we naturally think. Father, I pray for the husbands this morning. Help the husbands, especially this morning, to learn God's expectations on this area of life. Help all of us not to ask, "What do I want this passage to say?" but rather, "What does God say?" So teach us by your Holy Spirit this morning. And may our desire be to honor you in our homes and in our marriages and indeed in all of our lives. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. The first statement I want to mention to you in regards to submission in the marriage, in particular the wife, is point number one here. I would encourage you to take notes, is a wife's submission is not entire. A wife's submission is not entire. There are three basic approaches to this controversial subject. The first one is that wife's submission is an outdated thing, that it's patriarchal, that means that it's man-centric, There's a thought that this no longer applies. Church, I have to tell you, I've got to preach to you that I reject this because I believe that the Bible periodically speaks of this kind of submission in the marriage. The reality is that the Bible does say, let God be true and every man a liar. So I reject that, you know, that it is outdated and, you know, no longer. The Bible speaks of this. The other one is that it states that the wife has to always obey her husband. I also reject this approach. And I do so because the entire concept of submission and subjection to human authorities is present in Scripture everywhere, but it is also everywhere limited. Like when the apostles met with the Sanhedrin. You know, God teaches us, right, that we ought to obey authority, that we ought to obey our political authorities. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I'm going to get you to do a little bit of, let your fingers do the walking in your Bible this morning. Romans chapter 13, we're going to read a couple of verses starting at verse number 1 here. Romans 13 verse number 1, it says there, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. But look at this, but the powers that be are what? Ordained of God, folks. We have authority, political authority, that are ordained from God. I don't agree with the government that we have in any way, shape, or form, but they are there because they are ordained of God. Verse number 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, look at this, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse number 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, these authorities of ordained of God, right? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, conscience towards God, which submit to authority, to government. For this cause pay ye tribute also. Folks, that's for this cause I pay my taxes. Now, that doesn't mean I like it, and I still think I pay way too much. Amen? But I pay it happily because God says, for this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So we submit to authority, to government. The Bible tells us that. But at the same time, God gives us a clear example that limits this submission. God gives us a clear example that limits this subjection and this obedience in certain cases. Acts chapter 5 is the example. Let me read this to you, verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them into common prison. So here comes the authority that they're supposed to be in subjection to, and they don't like what they're preaching, and they don't like what they're saying, and they grab these guys, and they put them in jail. In verse number 27 continues in Acts chapter 5, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God, finish it off, rather than man. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And verse 42, and daily and in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They went against the authority of what they were told to do, even after being beaten up, even after being thrown in jail. They withstood that authority, and yet the Bible says that we ought to obey that authority. But folks, that is limited. So when we look at this text, we either have a contradiction in Scripture or the concept of submission has limits. And I propose, folks, that it is this. It has limits. And so I agree with that third approach, that it states the wife has to sometimes obey her husband. The key is to know when. And I believe this because of the way God teaches us about submission to all human authority, which includes, you know, not only wives to husbands, but also children to parents, employees to their employer, and generally of a citizen to its government. But I want you to notice that human-to-human submission, that human-to-human submission is always, by its very nature, to another flawed and sinful human being. Human-to-human submission will always be to another person who is sinful, will always be to another person who makes mistakes, to another person who is not omniscient, is not all-powerful, and is not everywhere present like our God, folks. So listen, church, we may have realized by now that a human being may well instruct you either in ignorance or knowingly and willingly ask you to do something that is contrary to the will and the word of God. And in that case, my friends, you are justified in refusing to obey in whatever relationship you find yourself in. If it goes against the will and the word of God, you are justified saying, no, I will not do that. I will not say that. I will not, because I honor my God above every other relationship. And my friends, that includes the marriage relationship. Why? Because obedience to a higher authority, God, takes precedence every single time. But let me reiterate. Folks, we're not talking about independence. We're not talking about rebellion. We're talking about biblical submission. It's not about you. It's about God. Let me encourage you in this too. Listen, this is not to be instituted for every little thing which you're told to do which you disagree with. Whether at home, whether at school, whether in the workplace, or even in the church. It's not about every little thing that we disagree with, that we don't have that viewpoint. We are talking about things that are clear and plain in the Word of God. There are times where it's justified to say, no, I will not obey. But in every single case, listen up, in every single case, this rejection of human authority is to embrace God's authority. And it should not, and listen, and it should be packaged with great respect and great honor and great humility while I make my stand to not obey. even when those authorities are unsaved. So we don't go off in our righteous indignation. Do I have to obey things that are unbiblical? No. But I don't make a scene about it. I make my stand. I disobey to follow God. But I do it with respect, and I do it with honor, and I do it with humility before God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In particular, it talks about submission in the marriage from the wife's point of view. I hope by now you can see that this we are talking about in the marriage, but it's all-encompassing, folks, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Peter addresses this. He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation," what's the last three words there? "Coupled with fear." That's not talking about being scared. That's talking about being coupled with reverence, with respect, with honor, with humility. Verse number 5. "For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjections unto their own husband." This submission was an adornment to their character, to their testimony. And then he goes into verse number six that, I joke with my wife a lot about this verse. "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him" what? Not Lord as in divine. Lord as in showing respect. Lord as in obedience, showing humility and honor. But let me say this again. A wife's submission is not entire. But let me say this as well. Her refusal to follow should be rare and should be only really exercised in cases where there is a clear conflict with the Lord. And as we just read, it should be decorated, folks. It should be adorned by a life of holiness and a life of sweetness and a life of honor. And in the church, folks, when we get down to it, in our Christian homes, in my honest opinion, folks, the typical wife, even of an unsaved husband, if he is worthy of his soul as a husband, will rarely have to exercise this standing her ground mentality. Now, I have testimony of this, and I grew up in an unsaved home. And I've seen, I learned a lot about biblical marriage from a mum and dad who, even though they didn't know the Lord, they were old school and they followed scriptural principles as were handed down to them, not from the Bible, but from tradition, and they followed this. And mum knew how to be, how to follow dad and this, because dad knew how to lead and dad knew how to be a husband. So rarely will she have to exercise this standing her ground mentality. Why? Because he knows what she believes. And a loving husband would not purposely try to get his wife to carry out some sinful action that violates her love for God. Especially when he knows firsthand that her love for God is genuine and that she wants to honor and respect and follow him and in that relationship. So we've established that a wife's submission is not without limits. Listen, men, husbands, young guys who one day will be husbands, don't expect your wife to submit to you in your ungodliness. Don't expect her to follow you in your own sin. Because if she stands her ground and says no to you, she's following God. And the man that sits there and goes, woman, you submit. Didn't you read the Bible that wife says, wife, submit to your husband? Listen, you're in sin, folks. So don't expect that. Because the Bible clearly teaches that a wife's submission has a limit. We've established that a wife's submission is not without limit. It is a willing submission to God through her husband. It is not blind obedience to a sinful man. But that raises another question this morning, church. To whom is a wife actually called to submit? And the answer may surprise some people because, you know, the Bible is far more specific than many have been taught, folks. And sadly, this is where many people have either abused this passage or misunderstood it. Some have expanded God's command beyond what God ever intended. And they have put women under authorities that have never been placed over them by the Lord God. But if we're going to be biblical, and Lighthouse Baptist Church will be biblical. If we are going to be biblical, we must let the text define the limits. Not only how submission works, but also who it applies to. So let me give you point number two. A wife's submission is not to anyone other than to her own husband. Folks, that changes the way we interact with ladies in our church. Notice the wording in verse number 22 of our text. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Notice that God doesn't say men. And he doesn't say every husband. He doesn't say every male authority. He says, you can read it, he says, your own husband. Folks, those two little words are incredibly important because they protect women from an authority that God never gave anyone else. This is not a generic women are inferior to men thing. It is an isolated and specific thing within the bounds of the marriage relationship. And let me say this. It is not prior to marriage. It's not like the boyfriend has authority over the girlfriend. Pastor, do you believe in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships? No. That's probably a message for another time. But if you're in some sort of relationship and you have a girlfriend, she's not in subjection to you. You're not married. So don't expect that. Folks, it's like a pastor's authority in a church. It is genuine, and it is real, and it is biblical. But listen, folks, it is limited in its scope, and it is limited in its reach. I'm not the boss of you. My authority doesn't extend to that. So positively, what does this mean? Firstly, hey, listen, a wife's submission is modeled on the church's submission to Christ. The church's submission to Christ. Yes, this church is supposed to submit to authority, but its first love is its submission to Christ. As the church is subject to Christ. So this submission involves trust. It involves trust on the part of the wife when she doesn't understand. Wives, sometimes in your marriage relationship, you're going to be called to submit to your husband and you're not going to understand. And you know what you need to do? You just need to trust him. Like we trust our God. Sometimes things happen in a church and we don't understand. And we don't know what's going on. And we don't see the reason or why. But we get down and we trust God. That's how this works. That's how this works. Now, what I'm not saying is that husbands, you need to leave your wife in the dark, amen? And you don't need to leave her oblivious to what is going on. I am saying that a wife should trust her husband with the role that God gave him. And remember that he loves her and he wants what is best for her and he's not going to purposely harm her. And at this stage, there are probably some people listening to this who will go, well, you know what? You don't know my husband. But I know him. I know what he's like. And I can't trust him. Folks, the only answer I got to that is why figuring that out through prayer and counsel and waiting on the Lord is so important before you put the ring on your finger and you exchange your vows. That's one of the things I told to this young man yesterday. I said, I'm so glad that you're engaged. And, you know, she's got her engagement ring on. And I said, look, but, I'll put my pastor's hat on for just a moment. And I said, listen, after salvation, this is the single most important decision of your life. This will make you or break you. Are you 100% sure that this is the young lady that God has picked out for you? They said, this is the girl to be your wife. He said, Pastor, I couldn't be more sure. Then praise the Lord. That's why figuring that things out so you don't have trust issues later. It's a good question for young ladies to ask. Young ladies, is a man trying to woo you? Do I trust this man? Do I trust this guy? If I can't trust him now, it won't grow later. So don't rush in. Don't rush in. Submission is to be done cheerfully, folks. In biblical marriage, the submission should be done cheerfully. Like God describes about giving in the local church. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he uses the word cheerful versus the word grudgingly. Something that's not driven out of duty, but driven out of love, driven out of respect. Something that is rooted and grounded in love. Listen, ladies, God calls you to submit in your marriage relationship, you guys that are single, learn this. Listen, it's not a grit your teeth submission. I know he's right, but God told me to submit. Yes, darling. That's not what we're talking about. It should be done cheerfully. This submission model is not a one-sided dictatorship. It is a two-sided and wants to take in the desires and the opinions of the one who's following, just like the church and Christ and prayer. In the marriage relationship, I lead my home and my wife follows. But when I make decisions, one of the first things I take in and I consider the desires of my wife and the opinions of my wife, and because it's important. Because my responsibility is for my wife to submit to the things that God wants her to submit to, but I want her to do it without doubt. And I go to her often. We learn quickly in a marriage that wives have a different point of view to life than the husband. After 27 years of marriage, we really are one flesh. And I often, 99% of decisions, I'll run past my wife. Even today, we were coming in the car. And I had a ministry idea and something that God laid on my heart. And I spoke to her about it. I said, listen, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And I like when I get the, tell me. Not about this one. Because I want her submission to be God-honoring. Husband, if your wife submit to you and it's not done in love and cheerfully, it doesn't honor God. So what's the point? What that does is teach her in her life that when we don't agree, and there's been a lots of times too where you know, I've sought counsel and we've got different opposing views about the decision that ought to be made. But she says, look, honey, you do what you think is right. I'll support you, even though I don't think we should do that or you should do that. I'll support you. That honors the Lord, folks. That glorifies God. It's not a one-sided dictator. You're dishing out orders. It is a two-sided that wants to take in, again, the desires and opinion of the one following. Just like the church and Christ and prayer. Do you understand, folks? Listen, do you realize that God desires to do what we want? His desire is to bless His church. God desires to do what we want. That's why He says to us that we ought to ask, and ye shall. And sometimes we have not because God doesn't want to give it to us. No, we have not because we ask not. God desires for us to ask. That doesn't mean God's the genie and just going to give us what we want. We pray in the will of God. Amen. And sometimes we have not because we ask not. Folks, God only withholds what we ask if He has a very good reason to do so. I thought, why God does... You know, my son came to me a few years ago and he asked for things that are dubious very prayerfully. And so he comes to Dad a few years ago and he says, Dad, look, I really want to get a pet. This was before the whole ferret thing, right? And he says, Dad, I love the way these things look. They're awesome. I'm just going to keep it in my room. And, you know, you won't have to do anything about it. And I'll look after it. And what, Dad, what I want to get is one of those mad, glow-in-the-dark scorpions. No. No. It's not good for you. If it gets out, it's not going to be good for the scorpion. Because I ain't putting it back in its cage, Brother Ilias. It's going under my foot. And that's if I see it. So I said, no. I said, no, son, it's not. I desired to do that for him, and hence I probably should have got the scorpion because then we got two ferrets, amen, which were worse. But God only withholds with things that He knows that aren't good for us. He has a very good reason to do so. So a wise husband cultivates the opinions and cultivates the desires and feelings of his wife. A foolish husband tramples over them on his way to being more authoritative than Christ intended us to be. A wise husband understands that the term, because I said so, should hardly ever be used, folks. And probably, I would tell you this morning, probably should never be used. If the only reason that you have to tell your wife to submit to you and just to do is because I said so, and you can't go to the Bible and you can't lead her and gently show her why she needs to follow you and why it's biblical, and all you have is because I said so, then you have a problem, my friend. Shouldn't use that. And if you don't have the vocabulary to do this, and you need to say, because I've said so, I encourage you not to, but if you have to, be tactful and do it in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of meekness. Only a foolish husband insists on total domination of his wife's thoughts, of his wife's opinions, and of his wife's desires. And a wise husband understands that leading his wife involves serving her and meeting her needs much more than he does telling her what to do. Husbands, I want to encourage you, be like Jesus, loving and providing and protecting and edifying and ministering and patient and forgiving and sacrificial for her. And then it will be the desire of her heart to submit to you. And wife, I would encourage you, be like the church. Happy to follow, happy to be cared for, and happy to yield out of just sheer love and respect. Folks, this is the picture of a biblical marriage, and there is no other. What does marriage look like? What God says right here. There is no other. Let me give you another point here. The last one too, by the way. A wife's submission glorifies her Lord, her husband, and herself. A wife's submission glorifies her Lord, her husband, and herself. Firstly, it glorifies her husband. 1 Corinthians 11:3. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Submission in a godly marriage by the wife brings glory to her husband. That should be a delight, folks, to see that kind of relationship. So it does, it glorifies. Folks, I'll tell you right now, my wife makes me look good. And I like that. I like that. Because I stuff up as well. And she increases my brownie points. So it does. It glorifies her husband. Biblical submission glorifies. More importantly, you know what, folks? A wife's submission glorifies her Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:13. "While by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." You know what that's talking about? That the wife's ministration of submission in the marriage, that professed subjection as he puts it there, is a glory to the gospel of Christ. It glorifies God. One of the greatest damages to the gospel of Christ is seeing domestics in church. Folks, that ought not to happen. God gets zero glory when the marriage relationship breaks down in the church publicly. It doesn't mean that, you know, we wipe things under the carpet and we hide things, but the glory of God is more important. Wife's submission glorifies the Lord. A wife's submission makes God look good. You know, as I've been thinking about this thing, it's a little bit like when you have good employees. Who employs people in this? Does anyone have a business that they employ people? I know, Ray, You have a business, and how many staff do you have? How many? One staff?
Two.
One or two? Not your wife, right? No. Okay. That's okay. So you have two people that is your business on Google? Okay. Can people leave reviews? Does that matter to you? Not really. So the fact that you could lose potential business because someone leaves a lousy review about your staff doesn't bother you. They have. Do you know how much business you've lost because of that? You have no idea, brother. Let me encourage you in something. This matters. Your testimony online, especially from folks that know you are a Christian, a lousy review matters. And this is what this is talking about. Good employees that are hardworking and they're honest. And folks, you know what they do? They make a business look good. I work in retail, which is really hard to keep, to please everybody, right? And we have an online testimony policy at work. And if someone hops on there and they write, look, you know, I went into this store today and I dealt with so-and-so and they looked after me and it was wonderful and, you know, they looked and they took their time and they knew their stuff and they helped me. Look, you go there and you find them and you speak to them. I'm so thankful, blah, 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 blah. We actually get commended for that. So management looks at that because those employees are making the business look good. And in the same breath, when they go on there and they read about the nasty things and the things that staff have done that have encouraged people to get on there and write some shocking stuff, they chase those up as well. Because those are making their business look bad. Those are affecting the future impact that business has on future reaches to business. And it matters to them. Listen, folks, this matters to God. Your relationship matters to God because it matters how you make God look. When there's a marriage relationship and the husband's been the husband that he should be and there's a testimony of that and the wife has been the wife that she should be and there's a testimony of that and they have this testimony of a godly marriage, that makes Jesus look good. And he cares about that. It glorifies her Lord. And lastly, obviously, glorifies herself through submission. But please, now, look, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that she seeks her own glory. Folks, the Christian life is never about promoting ourselves. But I am saying that when a godly woman walks in God's design and God honors that, he clothes her with beauty that no amount of money and fashion and makeup or social media or followers could ever reproduce, folks. And again, this goes against world philosophy. The world says if you submit, ladies, you're going to lose your dignity. God says if you submit, I'll give you my dignity. And we'll touch on the example of Sarah that we read about in the beginning. Because Sarah's example is mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 3:5-6. I'll read it to you. For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Let's give him an example, Lord, all right? Let's give him Sarah obeying Abraham. And you notice here that in that text, and we're running out of time, so I'm not going to go into it, but you notice in this text that Peter doesn't say that Sarah made herself beautiful with the latest trends and the latest philosophies and the latest clothes. He says in Scripture here that she adorned herself through trusting God, willingly following the role that God has given her. And thousands of years later, we're still talking about Sarah, folks. Not because she demanded her rights, not because she fought for prominence, but because she trusted in the Lord God, and God has honored her for generation after generation. Think of the woman in Proverbs 31. She isn't weak. She isn't incapable. She buys land. She runs a business. She manages servants. She provides for her household. She speaks with wisdom. She fears the Lord. And yet in all that strength, she gladly embraces God's order in the home. And what happens? Proverbs 31, 23. Her husband is known in the gates. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Verse number 28. Her husband also, he praiseth her. God gives her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse number 31. Folks, do you notice that biblical submission by the wife? Listen, she isn't diminished by submission. She is praised because of her godliness. And biblical submission is godliness. Let me remind you of one thing, ladies. I'm done here. Ladies, listen. Biblical submission does not make you less valuable. It displays your trust in God. It adorns your testimony. It beautifies your character, and it strengthens your marriage. And in the end, God Himself honors the woman that honors Him. The world applauds the loud, the demanding, and the self-promoting. But heaven smiles upon the woman who quietly says, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. So let me bring this all together this morning. The question this morning is, look, the question this morning isn't, do I like God's design? The question is, do I trust the God who designed it in the first place? The world says, fight for your rights. Jesus says, yield for my glory. The world says, put yourself first. Christ says, esteem others better than yourself. The world says that authority and submission are about power. God says they're about love and order and displaying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, listen, your biblical submission is not a sign of weakness. I'll say it again. Your biblical submission is not a sign of weakness. It is a testimony of your strength, because it says, I trust God's wisdom more than I trust my own. And husbands, listen, don't walk away thinking this passage gives you permission to rule your home with an iron fist. Paul is about to spend far more time speaking to husbands than he does to wives. And he will call us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's an impossible standard apart from the grace of God. When husbands lovingly lead like Christ, and a wife willingly follows like the church, the world gets a glimpse of something far bigger than marriage. It gets a glimpse of the gospel. And folks, that's exactly how God intended marriage to be displayed. So in close, let me say this to you, ladies. The challenge this morning is a very simple one. Sarah, as we have discussed, and now Lot's wife, stands as an example of the choice set before us. And every single day, you have a choice. Will you respond like Sarah, trusting God even when you don't understand everything? Will you choose to respect, honor, and follow the husband that God has given you, like the vows that we have said before? Not because he's perfect, but because your God is. Amen? And God knows what he's talking about. Or will we allow our pride and our resentment and our stubbornness, or the spirit of this world to rob you of the beauty that God desires to produce in your life. Folks, one woman trusted God and has been remembered for thousands of years as an example of faith. Another looked back when God said, go forward, and became a solemn warning to every generation, ladies, about the legacy you leave behind. What legacy do you want to leave? Do you want your marriage to reflect the confusion of this world or the beauty of Christ and His church? Do you want your home to be shaped by culture or by Scripture? Choose today, ladies, to be a Sarah. Choose to trust the Lord. Choose to embrace God's design, not because it is always easy, but because God is always right. And I can promise you this, no woman ever, ever regretted obeying God. His way has always been the best way, and it always will be the best way. And all of God's people said, let's stand.